To download more lectures, learn more about our project, and to help support it, visit www.bayinah.com/dream. That's BAYYINAH/dream. You are free to share these recordings with family and friends. Thank you and Jazakumullah khairan for helping us make our dream a reality.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا السماء انشقت وأذنت لربها وحقت وإذا الأرض مدت وألقت ما فيها وتخلت وأذنت لربها وحقت يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا إنه كان في أهله مسرورا إنه ظن أن لن يحور بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا فلا أقسم بالشفق والليل وما وسق والقمر إذا اتسق لتركبن طبقا عن طبق فما لهم لا يؤمنون وإذا قرئ عليهم القرآن لا يسجدون سجدة. بل الذين كفروا يكذبون والله أعلم بما يوعون فبشرهم بعذاب أليم إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم أجر غير ممنون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله تعالى we reached سورة الانشقاق. سورة الانشقاق is almost a culmination of a small cluster of surahs that are banded together because of a very similar kind of style and a very similar kind of subject matter. At least three surahs have almost an identical format of beginning. We read إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. We read إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. And now we're reading إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ. So they have very similar beginnings. There was one surah, you know, squeezed in the middle, that was Suratul Mutaffifin, which is also intricately connected. But one of the things that we have to appreciate, inshallah, before we continue, is its integral relationship with all of these surahs. And it's almost a culmination of all of these surahs. One of the things that we're going to learn about this surah is it's the theme of inevitability. There are things that go in stages, and then there's the conclusion. It's the conclusion of this series. And so there's a lot of things in this surah that talk about going through stages and then reaching a final conclusion. The other thing we're going to learn about here, inshallah ta'ala, is filling in the blanks by yourself. Allah Azza wa Jal expects you to be able to see. When you see one or two or three things, then you should expect to see the fourth thing. You should be able to draw that conclusion yourself. So there's almost an expectation of you to fill in the blanks yourself. The surah is divided essentially into four parts. The first five ayat, like many other surahs before, the few other surahs we've studied before, talk about the events of the last day with the series of phrases that begin with Ida. And then the sixth ayah to the 15th ayah, that's the second part of this surah, which is the current journey of the human being. before it gets to that conclusion, what journey are you and I engaged in? It's going to talk about that. Then from the 16th to the 21st ayah, there's a calling of the human being to reflect upon the signs of nature. And specifically, a specific kind of reflection on nature, the idea of nature having gradual change or having tadrij, having this like step-by-step-by-step progress. And we'll talk about that more in detail, inshallah. And then the fourth and final is a warning. Now that you've heard these arguments presented, take warning from it in the very end. The first thing I'd like to begin with, inshallah ta'ala, is a very important concept in language that we have to keep in mind when we understand this surah. You see, when Allah Azza wa Jalla says idha, the Arabic word idha means when. And there are two kinds of conditional statements pretty much in every language. You could say something with an if, or you could say something with a when. I'll give you a simple example. If I say, if I study, I'm going to get a good grade. Right? There's an if and a then. If I study, then I'll get a good grade. Another way to say that is also, when I go to work, I'll get this done. When, then. Right? There's two parts of that statement. When I do, when A, then B. There's if A, then B, and there's also when A, then B. Now, all of these surahs that we've talked about have when in the beginning. Idha, 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 idha. So that's the when portion. When the sky is torn. Right? Or when the sun gets wrapped up. Idha shamsu kuwirat. Right, the when portion. But then there's the then portion. The then portion has been عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا أَحْضَرَتْ عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. When these amazing things happen, then the human being is going to know. Every person will know what they have to present for themselves. Every person will know what they sent forward in terms of their deeds and what they left behind in terms of the consequences of their deeds. And we talked about that before in these surahs in Takwir and also in Infitar. Here, though, what's amazing is we have a series of when statements. So we have إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. But then we don't have a عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا أَحْضَرَتْ. We don't have عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. We don't have that. We just go straight to the next subject. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا. So the when portion is there, but the then portion is not there. That's the first thing I want you to understand. This is a departure from the previous surahs in that جَوَابَ الشَّرْط. The conclusion of that when portion that has been omitted, it's not been mentioned. And this is a very particular style of the Qur'an, and we'll talk about its benefit when the time comes when we get to those ayat, inshallah. So let's begin. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. In the previous surah, we found at the end Allah warned us about لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. For an enormity, an enormous day is coming. And these people had to prepare themselves for it. And now Allah is giving us a sign of that amazing preparation. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ. When the sky in shaqqat, it's completely cracked open. It's completely ripped. And you know, this is different from the word in fatarat. Remember, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انفطرت. That is to rip along the length of something. But in shaqqat, to be torn completely. To be torn off completely. And in the Arabic language, it's used for when you tear something that is not normally, you don't associate tearing or breaking apart with it. So in the Quran, for example, inshiqaq or shaq is used, for example, with the moon. When shaqqa al-qamar, the moon cracked open, the moon was split, one of the miracles of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This cracking is associated, or ripping is associated with the earth. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّى. Right? Allah tears open the earth. These are things you associate tearing with cloth, you associate it with paper, you associate it with fragile things. You don't associate it with the earth or the moon or the mountain. These are huge things, and you don't think of tearing with them. Another thing you don't think of tearing with is the sky. So the last thing you would imagine is the sky ripping open or cracking open, right? Similarly, the boulder that Allah speaks about, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَانْفَجَرَتْ, the infijar of the boulder, the explosion of the boulder, but then about the rocks, he says, لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ. Right, the boulder, it cracks open, and water comes out of it. The one thing I want you to know about this word, that's really important here, strategically in Allah's choice of words. About the sky, we found some other words. One of them we haven't studied yet. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فُرِجَتْ, we found before in the Qur'an. Okay. Then we found وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ, the sky was opened up like it was doors. Then we found إِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ, when the sky, remember, this, it was peeled like the skin of an animal, like the redness came out of it. Then we found إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انفطرت, it was ripped. But all of these words are reversible. That's one of the nature of these words. They are, in some sense or the other, they're reversible. انشقاق is not reversible. In that sense, this represents the final, like, you know, all of these things are going to happen to the sky. It's going to be peeled. It's going to be ripped. It's going to be opened up like doors, right? We're going to see all these cracks in it. Futur, hal tara min futur? Do you see any even minor crack in it, right? But this is the final. This is like, I mean, it's the point of no return. Idha sama'un shaqqat. So we said that this surah is about the inevitable and about the conclusion. So even the conclusion of what's going to happen to the sky is illustrated in the wordings, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. Then the next words, very powerful, subhanAllah. Allah says, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. أَذِنَتْ, in Arabic, it's a complex word. In Arabic, you have verbs and they're associated with nouns. Okay, a verb is associated with what we call a masdar, right? And this adhina has two, it's masdarain. It can come from one of two nouns. Depending on what noun it comes from, it means a different thing. So adhina ya'adhanu idhin in the noun, that means permission. But if you say adhina ya'adhanu adhan, it means to listen carefully and to obey the one you're listening to. This is the meaning in which it comes. By the way, in the Quran, both of these words have been used. For example, illa man adhina lahu rahman. With the except, we read this in Surah An-Naba, when the Lord gives permission, except for the one who the Most Merciful gives permission. أَذِنَ لِفُلَانٍ فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ. Adhin is used also again for giving permission. Allah has given you allowance that these houses be erected and elevated and you worship in them. So that word adhin is used. But here specifically, it is used in a different sense. Allah tells us when He says, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا, two words here, that it listened intently to its Lord. The sky listened intently to its Lord. Now, you don't associate the sky with listening to anything. It's an inanimate thing. It's an object. But here Allah is calling to attention specifically the rebel, the human being that rebels against Allah. And he is being told in a rhetorical fashion, look, when the sky is told to cease to exist, to crack open, then it is as though it is waiting to listen to the commandment of its Lord. This was its destiny. This is what it was meant to do. You know, when you reach the final conclusion of something, that all those stages, they were just steps. This is what I was doing all of it for. When you get your four-year degree, the first year, second year, third year, right? Those were just steps. You were trying to get here. So it's as though Allah is telling us the sky was created, this amazing thing, and it's beautiful in so many ways that Allah describes the beauty of the sky. But what was it created for? It was created for this moment. And it's been waiting intently for its Lord to finally let it fulfill its purpose. The one who created it. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا. And then Allah says, وَحُقَّتْ. وَحُقَّتْ. And it is only rightful that it should do so. From حَقَّ, this is مَبْنِي عَلَى الْمَجْهُولِ. And the way it's been interpreted by the Salaf, by the previous generations, let's look at some of the things they've said. كَمَا نَقُولْ حَقَّ لَقَ أَن تَفْعَلَ هَذَا. You know, that we say in language, it is only becoming of you to do such and such. So Allah is saying the sky listens intently to the commandment of its Lord to crack open, and it's only becoming of it to do so. What other choice does it have? حُقَّتْ أَيْ حَقَّ لَهَا أَن تُطِيعَ رَبَّهَا. That's also been said by the Salaf. That it's the only thing it can do, the only thing becoming of it, is that it obey the commandments of its Lord. Finally, we listen to what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said about this ayah. He said, وَحَقٌ لَهَا أَن تَسْمَعَ. It's a right of Allah on it that it listen to Allah, that the sky comply with Allah. So we are being told that the creation around us, as though it is like us in a sense, that it listens to Allah's commands and obeys, right? This is something that we learn in the Quran. It's a very powerful thing. It connects us to nature in a different kind of way. When Allah complains about the lack of obedience of the human being, He compares us to the rest of the universe. So for example, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Right? Everything in the heavens and the earth is declaring Allah's perfection. How is a rock? How is the moon? How is the sun? How is the sky declaring Allah's perfection? Allah tells us, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Is there anything in existence except that it's declaring the perfection of your Lord by praising Him? But you don't understand the way they do so. You don't understand that language. So that tree, that blade of grass outside, the breeze of air we feel on our face, all of these are declaring Allah's perfection. They are in obedience to Allah and praising Him, complying to His command. We simply don't understand how. We are the only one, by the way, that Allah commands and He has the option to listen. لَهُ خِيَار, right? He has got some choice. Us and the jinn. But the rest of the creation, when Allah commands, they listen. They listen. So this obedience of the heavens and the earth, Allah lets us know in another place, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٍ. Then he rose to the sky and it was turned to cloud, you know, it was a form of smoke. فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ ائْتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْحًا. When Allah created the heavens and the earth, you know, he commanded them, come forward submissively, you know, he said to the sky and to the earth, whether you come willingly or unwillingly. And of course, the sky and the earth, in their own language, responded, قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. We come forward in submission, in complete obedience. So, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. This is a contrast, by the way, to what we learned in the previous surah. You know, human beings, shouldn't they be intently listening to the commandment of their Lord? And when they listen to that commandment, shouldn't they be obeying immediately to what their Lord said? After all, He is their Lord. But in the previous surah, we found وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. Two attributes of this rebellious human being we found. One who crosses the lines. He's told, don't cross this line, he crosses it. He's told, don't do this, he does it. He's told, do this, he doesn't do it. And he's constantly engaged in sin. Constantly engaged in sin. This is Athim. So now we're being shown a contrast between that and the sky that is above us, that is far more powerful a creation than we ourselves are. أَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ بَنَاهَا. Then we turn to the earth. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. Then when the earth is stretched, when the earth is stretched, you know, مَدَّ in Arabic is to stretch something across its length. And it's used in a hadith, we'll talk about that hadith in a second, but let's see how it's used in the Quran. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَيْفَ مَدَّ الظِّلَّ. Didn't you look to your Lord how He stretches the shadow? You know, when the day proceeds and the sun comes down and the shadow gets longer and longer. So Allah makes you reflect on how the shadow gets longer, how time passes. That's a very picturesque way of Allah calling us to reflect on how time is passing by quickly. So Allah tells us about the time when the earth will be stretched. We find the explanation of this statement in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is narrated by several mufassirun, including Ibn Kathir. And it's considered a hasan hadith. So we'll go through it, inshallah. إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ مَدَّ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضَ مَدَّ الْأَدِيمِ. When the day of resurrection arrives, then Allah will stretch the earth like you would stretch leather. مَدَّ الْأَدِيمِ, like you would stretch leather. حَتَّى لَا يَكُونَ لِبَشَرْ مِنَ النَّاسِ إِلَّا مَوْضِعْ قَدَمَيْهِ. Subhanallah. Until the point will come where there will be no place left for people except the place where they put two of their feet. Meaning the people are going to come together on this earth, the mountains, the canyons, the rivers, everything's gone. It's turned into a flat land. And people are, you know, obviously coming out of their graves and everything. And everybody's stretched, you know, they're stuck together like this. And they have no place to move except the two places where their feet already are. فَأَكُونُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ يُدْعَى. And I will be, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be the first to be called. وَجِبْرِيلُ عَنْ يَمِينِ الرَّحْمَنِ. And Jibreel alayhi salam will be on the right of the exceedingly merciful. You know, on this day of resurrection, you would think Allah's names, Allah's power, Allah's anger, Allah's justice. But what name does Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam use for him? He uses Ar-Rahman in this hadith, right? That he'll be the most merciful because his mercy will manifest first and foremost upon his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَهُ قَبْلَهَا. And he says, by Allah, Jibreel alayhi salam has never seen Allah before that. So this is the first time he's right on the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَقُولْ يَا رَبْ إِنَّ هَذَا أَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّكَ أَرْسَلْتَهُ إِلَيْهِ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says to Allah, this is the one, this messenger is the one that informed me that you have sent him to me. That you've sent him to me, subhanallah. So then then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, صَدَقَ ثُمَّ أَشْفَقُ. Then Allah says, you said the truth. So this stretching of the earth has been described in this hadith. But anyway, let's come back to the surah. إِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. When the earth is stretched. And you know, the one who stretches something has complete power over it. So this is actually illustrating Allah's power not only in the sky, but also on the earth. This is another very important concept before we continue. The people who believed in a God at the time of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had some concept of a distant kind of God. He created the universe, he created everything, but he's kind of doing his own thing. The earth is left to be, right? Or he's up in the sky, we do our thing here on the earth. And this was actually the concept of the Pharaoh too, the Fara'ina. They believed the God is up in the sky, the God of the sun or whatever. We are in charge of the earth. We're in charge of the earth, right? So this is even a concept today. That, you know, Allah is not concerned with the affairs of the earth. He may, if he even is there, the galaxies and the universe is far too big for him to be worried about little old planet earth, right? وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. When the earth is stretched. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. Allah gives us more detail. لَقِيَا in Arabic, it means when two things come face to face. Alqa, however, from ilqa, you change the pattern of the word a little bit, it means to cast something, to throw something in front of everyone. You know, this word is used in the Quran, for example, فَأَلْقَى عَصَاهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُّبِينٌ. Musa alayhi salam took his staff, Moses took his staff, and he threw it in front of the Pharaoh, right? So everybody could see. So this is ilqa. This is ilqa. Allah says the earth is going to do ilqa. It's going to spit things out, and it's going to throw things out. So everybody, just everywhere you look on that day as the earth is being stretched, things are just popping out of the earth and being thrown in front of people. مَا فِيهَا, whatever is in it. What has been said about this, whatever's in it, مَا فِي بَطْنِهَا مِنَ الْأَمْوَاتِ, first of all, whatever's in the belly of the earth from the deceased, meaning the deceased are coming out. Remember we already did it, وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ, when the graves are, you know, topsy-turvied and pulled out, the contents of them are dragged out. So this is one interpretation of أَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا. Others are the treasures of the earth that people so wanted all this time, or the secrets of the earth. They're going to start coming out of this earth. Right? But the predominant opinion here is in this context, it's referring to the dead of the earth. Those who have passed already, they will all start coming out. Amin Hassan Islahi actually gives a very interesting image to this. He says, imagine a sheet that is crumpled up, right? And then you stretch it, and it becomes straight. So its curves, the ones that are indented, become straight, and its heights become straight, it becomes leveled. So this is what's being talked about here. Another way of Allah saying that, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا in Surah Al-Kahf. Plain, flat land, and that has no cultivation whatsoever. It's a dead kind of land. So وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا. But then he says وَتَخَلَّتْ. وَتَخَلَّتْ. And تَخَلَّتْ comes from the word خَلْوَة, which is literally, it means solitude. خَلَى means to empty something out. Then from that we get the word khalla, like khallu sabilahum, leave their path, to take someone somewhere and leave them alone and walk away from them. This is, takhliya. But then here we have takhalli, at-takhalli. And this word actually, it means to empty out entirely. Like you have, this is used also even for a mother when she delivers a child. Because this is burden on her and she's got to get, let go of that burden. She empties out entirely. This has been used for the earth here, as though the earth is pregnant with this load of these graves, of these sinners and these righteous that deserve what they are due. And now the time has come that it can finally let go. It can finally unleash what is inside of it. So, وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. You know, another way we'll find this depicted later on in this series of surahs, we will find وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. Right? The earth will bring out its burdens, its loads. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. Again, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, even the earth, it listened intently and complied with the commandment of its Lord. It was as though it was waiting for this moment. This was its destiny. You know, this adhina is used again, not just istama'a, to hear. It's not just that. And it's not just ata'a, to obey. It's something more. It's like, you know, you're waiting for someone to give you instructions. And it's not just that you want to listen to them and do it because you're being forced to. You can't wait to follow those instructions. There are some situations where you can't wait to do a certain assignment. And you're the only, even though it's an act of obedience, you are as much in desire of doing it, as even more so than the master commanding you. Right? That's the intent, and that's the vigor, and that's the zeal that the earth shows when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا. It complies to its Lord intently, as though it's now getting a chance to fulfill its destiny. وَحُقَّتْ, and it's only rightful for it to do so. Now these ayat, إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ شَقَّتْ, إِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. Right? These two, when. Remember, when should lead to a what statement? The jawab al-shart, the then statement? That then has not been mentioned. But in similar surahs, has it been mentioned? We have عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. When this happens, every person will know what they have to present for themselves, reluctantly so. Every person will know what they sent forward and left behind. We've read that already. So Allah wants us to understand that conclusion doesn't have to be stated anymore. You already have experience. You've already heard. The believers already heard, read this in the Quran. So he can fill in the blanks himself. And this surah is about filling in the blanks. Understand the conclusion is coming. When this happens, what's the first thing that's going to happen? You're going to realize what you've been doing your entire life. When you see the sky crack open beyond repair, and when you see the earth stretched and its contents coming out, the first thing going through your mind will be, man, what do I have to present for myself? What did I send forward? What good deeds did I invest in? What evil have I left behind? These are the things that are going to be crossing your mind. It doesn't even have to be said. It's become a natural conclusion now. So Allah Azza wa Jal moves to the next topic. And this is really the center of this surah, this ayah right here. Ya ayyuhal insan. Allah Azza wa Jal begins, Ya ayyuhal insan. This usloob, this style of, oh human being. Hey human being. And insan, you know, from one of the origins of the word insan is nasiya. So one of the implications of that is, oh forgetful human being. You forgot where you came from. You forgot your, you know, your journey, your destiny. The earth didn't forget. The sky didn't forget. You forgot. And so from the word even insan, we get this idea of, you know, nisyan, of forgetfulness. Now this thing has been mentioned twice. Ya ayyuhal insan occurs twice. And both in these series of surahs, you have Ya ayyuhal insan innaka kadih. Then we have Ya ayyuhal insan, we read already, Ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. Oh human being, what deluded you from your gracious Lord? What was so powerful that deceived you? We've read that already. So now we find the other statement from Ya ayyuhal insan, tying these two surahs together, even in their style. Innaka kadihun. No doubt you are engaged, you are actively engaged. This is ism fa'il, so it's active engagement. You're actively engaged in toiling labor. You're actively engaged in toiling labor. Before we go any further, let's understand what that means. You know, in another place Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created the human being in just harsh work. So that one of the conditions, it's a fact of life. Human beings, our entire life is struggling for things. It's struggling for things. Think of your entire life like exits or milestones on a highway, right? You run out of gas, you got to get to the gas station, then you got to get to the next one. Destination you forget about, you worry more about how you get to the next milestone, right? Even though you're on a longer journey, you stop at every milestone. So when you're a kid, your only milestone is, when are my parents going to get me that toy? Right? When do I get to play with that thing? I've been waiting for so long, they haven't gotten it for me. Or when is summer vacation coming? Right? For summer vacation is coming in a couple of weeks. So, you know, people are waiting for that. That's a milestone they're waiting for. You get a little older, when am I graduating from college? You get a little older, when am I going to get married? When am I going to, you know, when's the baby coming? When are we going to move to the house? When does the new job start? When does the second store open up? When? You have all these milestones. And for every milestone, you work really hard. You get just immersed in that work. Especially nowadays, you know, I come from a tech background. This used to happen. It happens to techies a lot. You have a project. It's got a due date. What's going on until that due date in your head? You're making salah. You're eating food. You know, you're driving your car, but your mind is processing code. And it's, you know, in your head, it's like, oh my God, I missed that line. Or I should call them, they missed that line, or whatever, right? That's all that's going on. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ. But then Allah gives it a sense of, before we go on, let's explore the sense of perspective. First thing, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ الْمُرَادِ جِنْسُ الْإِنسَانِ فَيَشْمِلُ الْمُؤْمِنُ وَالْكَافِرِ. First of all, understand in the Salaf we find that the meaning of يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ, oh human being, is all human beings. Every human being, whether he be a believer or a disbeliever, they're being told this. So this is not just a declaration to Muslims, it's a declaration to humanity. Oh human beings, no doubt, each and every one of you is actively engaged in toiling labor. Now let's see what kind of toiling labor. First, kadh. It's been described by al-Shawkani, al-kadh fi kalam al-Arab, السعي في الشيء بجهد من غير فرق بين أن يكون ذلك الشيء خيرا أو شرا. This is a struggle towards something without any distinction, and it's a laborsome struggle without any distinction whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. You're just engaged in it. You just got to get it done. You don't care if it's good or bad. So it's not an evil work or a good work necessarily. It's just work altogether. Then we find جهد النفس في العمل والكد فيه. This is what, you know, we find by Zamakhshari, the linguistic tafsir of Quran. He says this is the struggle, the toil of a person in the work that they are engaged in, and to be immersed in it entirely till the point where their body even gets exhausted. Their body gets, you know, tired from that work, that project that they have before them. Now, see, all of this, you know, when we do hard work, we have that goal in front of us, but Allah puts a different goal. He says, إِلَى رَبِّكَ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا. You are engaged in this active work rigorously, nonstop, day in and day out, business, business, business. You go to somebody, how's it going? Alhamdulillah, how's work, man? It's a lot of work, yeah. Busy, busy, you know. It's always that. What's going on in life? Oh, well, there's this one thing going on. There's this other thing going on. We got to finish this project. And you take 20 minutes describing the guy, your project that you're about to finish, or this new business you're about to start, or this class you're about to take, or this, you know, this term paper you got to hand in. It's always something. But Allah says these tiny milestones, what ends up happening is you forget where you're headed. You know, you have to go to one, then to the next, then to the next, and you stop realizing you're actually on a highway, and these are just small stops. Where does this highway end? What's the conclusion? Remember we talked this surah is about inevitability? What's the inevitable? Where are you going to end up? To your Lord. You're headed to your Lord. Whatever you're doing, you're rebelling against Allah, your life is about partying, your life is about business, your life is about studies, whatever your life is about, doesn't matter what road you take, they all lead one place. In the end, you are headed towards your Lord. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا. And then Allah says, subhanAllah, فَمُلَاقِي. You're headed to your Lord, meaning this, what it really means is, فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Standing before your Lord. That's where you're ending up. That's your real project. فَمُلَاقِهِ, rough translation means, then you are going to meet him for sure. Then as a consequence of this toil, you're going to meet him. Now this work, this laborsome effort that the person is doing isn't necessarily to please their Lord. They're just doing it for their life. Doesn't matter what you do it for though, you're still headed to your Lord. And you will, one of the translations of فَمُلَاقِهِ is, then you will meet him. That you will meet, meaning your Lord. But it's been interpreted other ways also, like a sabuni in Safwat al-Tafasir says, فَمُلَاقٍ كَدْحَكْ. You're going to meet your own labor. And this has been supported in the Qur'an. You're going to work so hard, maybe you'll see the fruits of your labor, maybe you won't. Even if you do see the fruits of your labor, those aren't really the fruits of your labor. Where do you see the real fruits of your labor? With Allah. That's where they really are. So when you get there, you'll come into contact with what you had been doing. Allah won't show you anything except what you've been doing yourself. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. They will find whatever they did standing right in front of them like a mirror. Everything that they used to work on. So this is the reality that's been depicted in إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. Whether we strive to please our Lord, whether we believe or we disbelieve, we're on this conveyor belt that's moving whether we like it or not. Whether we're sleeping or awake. Whether we're in college or we're working, whether we're married or unmarried, whether we're sick or we're healthy, there's no day off. We're constantly moving in that direction. You know, in a journey in life, you can take a break, you could stop. But there's not a moment that goes by that we're not on this journey. There's not a moment that goes by. That reality has been explained in these very few powerful words. That journey comes to a conclusion for the sky and the earth when it cracks and the earth stretches. Where does this journey come to conclusion for us? Where is it? When we get to that, our Lord, what's going to happen there? Now that that door has been opened for that thought, that's what's coming next. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. Then as for the one who had been given his book in his right hand. أُوتِيَ in the Arabic is different from يُؤْتَى. يُؤْتَى is مُضَارِع, it's the present tense. The translation would have been, and as for the one who will be given his book in his right hand. Who will be given his book. But here it says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ, the one who had been given his book. This, by the way, in the Arabic, this is one of the things that's very confusing for a contemporary audience and can only be resolved when you're a serious student or at least have some appreciation of classical Arabic. In classical Arabic, past and present tense is not how we think of past and present tense in German and Spanish and English and Urdu or Farsi even. The past tense is a means by which you can deliver certainty. This is one of the means by which you can deliver certainty. Like, you know, there's nothing more certain than the past. So for sure, to whom his book has been handed in the right hand. Now what book? In the previous surah, did we find a mention of books? كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ. The book of the righteous will be in the highest, right? That book that has the record, the roster of everyone. So you take out the notebook, the binder that belongs to you from the book of the entire righteous, and then it gets handed to you in what hand? The right hand. It gets handed to you in that right hand. From Al-Illiyin. So now this book that's handed to the right hand, let's look at a couple of words in here that are really important. First of all, this is not the only place in the Quran where Allah talks about the book being handed in the right hand. We find فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ. And he's gonna say, هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. Hey, come here, read my book. So the guy gets the book in his right hand. And it's like a graduation certificate, right? You don't want to just keep it in a shelf. What do you do with your diploma? You put it on the wall, you frame it. Look at that, 4.0 GPA, right? So you want to show it to people. So you get your book in your right hand and you want to show it. So he goes around the day, nobody cares on the day of judgment, but he can't hold himself. اقرأوا كتابي, read my book. إني ظننت أني ملاقٍ. Same word that ends this surah. I was so sure that I'm going to come into contact مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ with my accountability. I was so worried about that too. I was sure that Allah is going to show me my book and it's going to have everything I did. I used to be so worried about that. In anni mulaqin hisabi has a nervousness in it even. I was so sure that I'm going to come to meet with my reckoning, my accountability. But here the first thing, beyond that, so what I want you to appreciate inshallah, this word about having the book given to you, the word yameen. The word yameen doesn't just mean right hand. In Arabic, it's an expression of power, number one. Okay, it's an expression of power. Number two, it's an expression of an agreement. When people shake their yameen or have the yameen meet, the two hands meet, the right hand meets, it means it's a done deal. It's finished. This is the kalam al-Arab. Okay, or even the verbal, the body language of the Arabs. When they would shake right hands on it, it's a done deal, it's finished. It doesn't have to be signed, sealed, notarized, or approved by a lawyer or whatever. It's done when they shook hands on it. Okay, and this is part of many ancient cultures. It's not so much anymore. You say, we shook hands on it, man. Where's the money? What hand? What are you talking about? Right? We don't have that culture anymore because usually our agreements are by email. There don't handshakes anymore. But anyway, here, one of the things you have to understand, this person's been empowered by using the word yameen. On a day where everybody will be weakened, this person's empowered. Empowered to the point, remember, Allah told us, لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. On that day, there's going to be such a preoccupation on the day of judgment, such preoccupation, not worried about anything. Everybody's concerned about themselves. But this guy is empowered to the point where he can even go around and say, hey, read my book. Who's going to say, read my book on that day? Right? Except the one who's been given this freedom, this reign, this relaxation. So this is captured in فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. The other thing, it's an honor. The right hand is also considered an expression of honor. And of course, we said fulfilling agreement. So he has that, as soon as he gets the book in his right hand, he knows Allah has agreed and fulfilled his agreement. He already knows where he's headed. That nervousness of the day of resurrection is gone. He's calmed down. But then Allah Azza wa Jal adds, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Then as for the one, may Allah make us from these people. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. You know, the one who's been handed his book in his right, he will be audited, يُحَاسَب, المُحَاسَبَ, to have an audit, to have thorough accounting done for every last item in your finances or in your papers, right? Every last thing checked. He will be dealt with an audit that is easy. حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, an easy accounting, and an easy reckoning. You know, this helps us understand in the previous surah, when Allah told us the righteous are in bliss, they're لَفِي نَعِيمٍ, right? إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. No doubt the righteous, they are in blessings. What's the first blessing? Before they even get to Jannah, before they see all the, you know, the rewards of paradise, the first blessing is they get the book in their right hand. Already, تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. You will recognize in their face the glow of bliss. Where did that glow come from? They got the book in their right hand. Once they got that book, their face is lit up. Before you get that book, you're not sure which hand is going to get the book. You're not sure, you're nervous. As soon as you get the book, the face lights up. One of the most beautiful things I failed to mention in the previous surah, ta'rifu. You will recognize. Allah tells His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will recognize the bliss on their face. What does that mean? That the Messenger will be in their company. And this is another na'im that has been added to them, that, you know, to recognize someone, you have to be able to see them, right? So he will be in their company, subhanallah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is another gift of Allah to the people of Jannah, subhanallah. Then finally, in this discussion, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, please understand the nervousness of the people before us. You know, we think, we did enough good deeds, we did hajj, we pray, you know, we're not that bad. You know, we only miss salah once in a while or whatever. You get a feeling you're doing all right. You know, you're headed okay. Look at the nervousness the sahaba had, the companions, the ones who were guaranteed paradise, right? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, if one of my feet was in paradise and the other, وَأُخْرَى خَارِجَهَا, and the other was outside, مَا أَمِنْتُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ, I wouldn't feel safe from Allah's plan with me. I'm still not sure what Allah has decided for me. I'm still nervous. You look at Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He says, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ نَادَ مُنَادٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, I swear by Allah, if the caller makes a call on the day of resurrection, and كُلُّ النَّاسِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ, that all people will enter Jannah except one guy. A call has been made on the day of judgment, everyone will enter Jannah except one person. لَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ ابْنُ الْخَطَّابِ, I would be convinced that's the son of Khattab. That's me. SubhanAllah. This is the nervousness of the Sahaba. They earn paradise for a reason. We hear this and we say, okay, yeah, I get Hisab and Yaseer. I'm going to get the easy accounting. This is not the mentality of the people before us, because that will lead you to laziness. We want this, and you have to work for it. You know, this قَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ قَدْحًا came first. This toil and this labor. Now that toil and that labor has to be directed towards earning that easy reckoning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, two words for easy have been used. The word hayyin and the word yaseer. So this is the word yaseer. Hisab and yaseer occurs here. So it's yaseer means easy, lightweight, comfortable, effortless. These are the implications of yaseer. Okay. Now, let's look at a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he explains this ayah. One time, Aisha radiallahu anha, she saw him making dua. And he said, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, you know, when you take an account of me, when you audit me, give me an easy audit. Audit me an easy audit. Take an easy reckoning of me. So when Aisha radiallahu anha heard this, she said, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا الْحَسَابُ الْيَسِيرُ What's easy reckoning? What's easy accounting? What does that mean? So he says, أَنْ يَنْظُرَ فِي سَيِّئَاتِهِ فَيَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْهُ That the Lord will look, that He will look into your sins and He will overlook them. He'll read it and He'll just pass. You know, like the guy sees your license, right? Couples you over and you have like a couple of tickets on your license. He looks at your record, he goes, it's okay. Go. Just don't do it again. He's being nice. He's in a good mood. Maybe he got a promotion that day or something, right? Or they filled their quota or something. He lets it slide. Now on the day of judgment, nobody thinks they're going to let anything, nothing's going to slide. So this is a tremendous mercy of Allah. This person, already they've been given their book in their right hand. But does that mean they only have good deeds? No, they make mistakes too, right? The people that have been described in paradise, Allah describes them making mistakes too. That's why they're asking for forgiveness. It's not, you know, they only have good deeds on their record. So when Allah sees those bad deeds, subhanAllah, He overlooks them. No big deal. It's okay. It's okay. You know, even if the angels recorded everything precisely, it's all there. It's not like it's missing or erased or anything. It's overlooked. يَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْهُ SubhanAllah. إِنَّهُ مَنْ نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابِ يَوْمَئِذٍ هَلَكَ This is how the hadith ends. The one who is debated on the day of on that day, meaning the one who is questioned about this line. Hey, what about this sin over here? What did you do on Thursday the 5th? You know, at 3 p.m. What was this? If that happens, halak. This person has been destroyed. The moment a person starts getting questioned for their deeds, the Messenger tells us, that's it, this person's done for. This, the mercy of Allah is on the one who He overlooks his sins. Other narrations, يَنْظُرُ فِي كِتَابِهِ He will look into his book instead of his sins. يَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْهُ He will overlook it. إِنَّهُ مَنْ نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابِ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا عَائِشَ هَلَكْ The one who has been debated or questioned on that day, as far as their accounting, has been destroyed. Then the other hadith that are pertaining to this concept. مَنْ حُسِبَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عُذِّبَ The one who has been reckoned, who has been audited on the day of resurrection, for sure has been tortured, meaning their torture is sealed. لَيْسَ ذَلِكَ الْحِسَابِ In another hadith. This is not accounting as you think of accounting. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ الْعَرْضِ عرض. This is nothing but overlooking, or you know, sort of a courtesy extended to these people. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عُذِّبِ Last one. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ أَحَدٌ يُحَاسَبُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا مُعَذَّبًا SubhanAllah. There is not a single person, the Messenger says, all of these, by the way, are narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha. There is not a single person that is accounted on or audited on the day of resurrection except that they are tortured. Meaning the people who earn Allah's paradise directly, they will have to show their book. But what's going to happen? Their sins will be overlooked. And when the sins are overlooked, they handed their book back, and what do? Hey, look at my book. اقرأوا كتابي SubhanAllah. So first, Allah overlooks, because even then, when your accounting is being presented, you're nervous about the mistakes. I'm constantly reminded, when I was a kid, you know, in some schools, what they do is, you take the test to the teacher, and he grades it in front of you. Right? And if your test is ever being graded in front of you, you know, as the teacher is reading through the questions, what are you doing? Oh my God. you're nervous about every item. What is it going to get? Where's the X? And you notice this audit on the day of resurrection is taking place. And you know there's a mistake, but there's no X. He keeps going. He keeps turning the page. And you start feeling a little good about yourself, subhanAllah. So this is an amazing gift of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, after this is done, when you get the greatest news, you graduated, you got the job, You got the promotion, right? Or they approved the contract, whatever. Who's the first person you call? Who do you talk to? Your family. You call your mother, you call your sister, you call your wife, you call the kids. Hey, we got it. Hey, it's done. You know where I am right now, right? Every time you have something good, you want to share it first with those who you love the most. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, as soon as this hisab has been given to him, what happens next? وَيَنْقَلِبُ He turns around. Where does he go? إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ He turns around to his family. But wait a second, have we read some things about the family before? This person's running away from the family. Nobody cares about anybody else on that day. So how is this explained in tafsir? First of all, ahl here. Not everybody is your family. Who's your family? Those who believe with you. Your love will be associated with those who believed with you. And you will not feel on that day, you won't feel that you miss, you know, like Nuh alayhi salam was feeling pain for his son when he was drowning. That pain will disappear on the day of judgment. You know, Ibrahim alayhi salam was concerned for who? His father. That concern will be gone on the day of judgment. The who will be in your heart, the love of family will be the family who believed with you. Your ahl, your people are the ones who believed. May Allah enter all of our blood relatives, all of our extended families, the entire ummah, into those that we return to on the day of resurrection. The other thing here that's really powerful, it's very beautiful, is imagine this person has been given, and by the way, yanqalibu ila ahlihi masrura, delighted. Masrur comes from surur, and surur is related to the word sir. Sir in Arabic means secret. It's a kind of joy you feel it deep inside your heart, and it doesn't even come out. It hasn't even come out on your face yet, it's deep inside. You feel it in the depth of your heart. That's the kind of joy that's being talked about here. Inner joy. You know, there's superficial joy on your face, or temporary joy. But there's that lasting joy that's deep inside, that's surur. Right? So he goes with that lasting joy to his family. But the thing here is, you know how there are degrees in paradise? There's darajat in Jannah. Imagine this person is in a high level of Jannah, and his family is where? In a low level of Jannah. What this ayah implies already is that Allah will take people from the lower levels of Jannah. If one of their family members made it up there and they want to go back to their family, they don't have to take the elevator down. What's going to happen? These people on the lower levels are going to be brought up, subhanAllah. This is an added mercy of Allah, an added mercy of Allah. So of your family, if they're, you know, you're hopeful for Jannah, but there are people in your family that are doing more work for the deen than you are, support them. What do we do? We ridicule them. Why are you wasting your life? Why are you, you know, da'wah? Who needs da'wah? Right? Why are you learning all the time? What's with the going to the masjid at fajr time, etc., etc.? Instead, understand, if these people raise to a higher level, that, you know, you don't, it's not like you're free from your duties. But even if you make it to a lower level, they'll be your ticket up to a higher place. Remember, we talked about the two kinds of drinks previously? The people are enjoying, and they have some little bit tasneem, but who's got the whole flow of tasneem going on? The people at the higher level, so you want to go see what's up over there. If you have family up there, you got connections, right? So you can get up there, subhanAllah. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا You know, these are the same people. There are a few things we have to... By the way, what time is Salah? 9:30, okay. There's a few things we have to talk about here. The first thing is, these people, by the language it is told, this is not the carefree, happy, and joy-only attitude they had with their family when they were in this world. This happens in the next world. And we find a testimony of this elsewhere. We find Allah tells us, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ SubhanAllah. Those who believed and their future generations followed him with faith, we make them come together, meaning we bring them to the same high level. وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ And we will not cancel out of any of their deeds at all. كُلُّ امْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ But then later on we find these people when they get to Jannah, they're talking to this family, they're talking to each other. They're talking to each other. And you know what they say? قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ We, you know, back in the day, remember, there was, for sure, we used to be so worried, so grieved, and so concerned about our family. These are the people, they have, you know, joy, only joy on Resurrection Day. But in this world, they're just worried about their family. They're worried, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to the kids? Are they going to be praying when I'm gone? You know, this ishfaq that's being talked about, we learn in the life of Yaqub alayhi salam. He's on his deathbed. And what's he saying? مَا تَعْبُدُنَا مِنْ بَعْدِي What are you going to worship after I'm gone? What are you going to do after I'm gone? This concern for the family. We feel that more in the West, perhaps, nowadays. Right? What about the external influences on our children? How do we protect our kids from all these, you know, the foul language and the bad company and all of these kinds of things? We were always concerned, where are they going to learn their deen? How are they going to teach it to their kids? What's going to happen 3 generations from now? Where's Islam going to be? So they remember those concerns when they get to Jannah. But this is not the time to be carefree. This is the time to be concerned. That's the time to be carefree. What's happened nowadays, unfortunately, is we become carefree about our families here. Many of us. Our life is good. The kids have the video games they ordered, right? The husband has whatever he wants in the house, and it's designed the way everybody likes it, just as per everybody's specifications of decoration, right? The car is the car she likes and he likes and whatever. Everything's good. We don't have to worry about anything else. But this will not give you surur. By the way, and before we break for the salah, one last thing. In the previous surah we found, who was joyful and carefree with their family? وَإِذَنْ قَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ قَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. In the previous surah we found the irony. Those who return to their family with, you know, that taste of joy in their mouth, remember that? They go, this is the disbelievers. Carefree life with their family. No concerns about the future. But the believer, he's raised with that concern, because this is the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Concern for the future. That's what we have to have. This is why when we make dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. In Surah Al-Furqan, we find this dua. You know, give to us from our spouses and our children the coolness of our eyes, the calm from the storm. Literally what قُرَّةَ أَعْيُن means, the calm from the storm, the relaxation, that we may feel content that they're all right. As far as their deen is concerned, they're all right. And make us imam over those who have taqwa. SubhanAllah. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us this joy with our families on the day when it counts.